Well, that goes along with what we've been preaching the last several weeks. And that day, maybe today, there may be a roll call today. That'd be okay. I don't mind missing fireworks tonight. That would be kind of like fireworks to see the Lord come back and see everybody leave. I'd be perfectly fine with that. Perfectly fine. I'm going to have Sarah teach me how to smile. When I was in voice at Bob Jones, they would harp on me all the time. They make you stand in front of a mirror. They make you stand a certain way, and you have to breathe a certain way, and you have to roll your shoulders back, and all this kind of stuff. They say, "Can you smile? Please smile." I don't like smiling, so it's like, quit hassling me. But I like watching Sarah's expression. She always smiles, and I need a little bit of that, I think. So my heart is happy. It's just my face doesn't know it. I've had people say, "Why are you always so somber?" My sisters used to call me a stick in the mud. How many remember that term, a stick in the mud? Well, I like being a stick in the mud, so don't hassle me. And I'm just teasing. Thank you for that, Sarah. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. When I saw Brooke and the girls walk in, I thought, well, there's five people right there. And twins are doing okay. So far, so good. So getting closer and closer to that. So that's going to be kind of exciting to see twins here in the church. I don't think that's happened in a long time. So I'm not sure if anybody has had twins, at least not in my time. So that'll be neat. So keep praying for Brooke and the twins. Let's have prayer. We'll get right into the message this morning. Father, I am grateful that one day the roll will be called. And not because of my goodness, not because of my affiliation with a church or denomination, not because of my ability to keep your commandments, but all because of Jesus Christ, all because of what he has done, I'll be there. And I know there are many, if not many in this auditorium, or all in this auditorium, who will be there, because we're not basing it on our works, but on the work of Jesus Christ. Lord, that people would understand that simple truth. And so many, even within so-called Christian churches, have never understood that simple truth. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by your mercy, you saved us. Thank you. Thank you that we get to look forward, and we do with anticipation, being with you. So, Father, till then, help us to occupy. Help us to do, as the song says, labor for you, the Master, from the dawn till setting sun. And please you. We'll thank you for it. Bless your word this morning. You've given a promise that you will, so I receive it. I accept it. Work in the children's church hour, the nursery, and work right here. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. It's great to be free, is it not? It's great to be free, is it not?
Amen.
Amen. It is, really is. I'm grateful to be an American. I'm grateful to be a Christian. It's very appropriate what Paul did this morning, because that really goes right along with what you'll hear this morning. You know, we are free people. No one made you, well, now I'll say this, if you have small children, you made your children come with you. But each adult in this room, you had the freedom to choose whether you came to this place today. And more importantly, no one hindered you from coming. There was no one outside the doors of this church that stopped you. And there will be no one outside the doors of this church that will stop you. And I've mentioned before about a pastor by the name of Samuel Lam, a Chinese pastor, who was constantly harassed by authorities there and would have to move locations. And they found out about his house church. And after one particular day, they knew where they were meeting. They would move locations, which many do. Even missionaries move their locations there. And they knew where they were that Sunday, and they came, and Chinese officials stood outside that door. And when they exited the building, they stopped Samuel Lam. That was his Christian name, a converted Chinese man. They stopped him and his wife. They took his 15-year-old daughter and put a pistol to her head and said, "You will cease. And you will no longer hold services. And you will not espouse this doctrine of Jesus Christ. And he said, I cannot do that. They put the pistol to her head and said, you will or we will take your daughter's life right now. And he said, I cannot. I cannot deny my Lord. And right in front of her mom and dad, they shot her in the head and killed her right in front of them. Probably happened about 10, 15 years ago. You don't fear that. No one's heart is racing in this room this morning and fear that when you exit this building, you're going to see some official outside and haul you off to jail. You're not fearful that you're going to get a knock at your door this afternoon and say, we heard that you were at a church service. That's illegal. You have to go to jail now. You don't fear that. You have freedom. And one would think a free people would cherish liberty. But I can say this about myself. I don't think I can really speak for other people, but I sense sometimes when I look at our nation that if the truth were told, we simply get used to liberty. We just get used to it. We take it for granted. And I'll put it this way. Liberty loses its luster. I think I do a whole lot more complaining about my country than I do thanking God for the country, if you would. Liberty just loses its luster. I take for granted that I can do this without repercussions. I can if I want to. And I've done this in Atlanta. I've done this in Canton, Ohio. I've done this in border towns, South Carolina, North in Georgia. Go down and street preach. Now, that's an interesting experience, especially a city like Atlanta. Go right down the heart of Atlanta and start street preaching. That's an interesting experience. But I can do that. And no one can stop me. I can go out to these neighborhoods. I've been stopped a couple of times by police. But normally can go into a neighborhood and freely go from house to house. Now, people may reject it. Most are receptive, but some will reject it. But I can do it without any repercussions. I have freedom. And you know what? I'm like so many other Americans. I just take it for granted because this is all I've known for 62 years. This is all I've known is freedom. Liberty. The American patriot Patrick Henry said this, if life is so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery, forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Now there's a man who cherished freedom. And I think we could rightfully say there was a reason that he cherished it so much. At that time in this nation's history, well, it wasn't even a nation yet. The colonies of Great Britain, we were still underneath the crown, and there was oppression among the colonists. There wasn't the freedom granted the British citizens back in England to the colonists. We were, in a sense, sub-citizens of the British crown. And there was oppression there. Mistreatment of the colonists. And so there was a longing from the colonists. Hey, treat us like you treat the people in England. Don't look down on us because we don't happen to live in Liverpool or we don't live in London. Don't treat us differently. But they were. And it began to create a great desire in the hearts of men like Patrick Henry to have freedom. Well, that's not our situation today. And sometimes we take our freedom for granted. And I hope we won't. I hope this morning you'll think about the freedom you have, the liberty you have, and one, be thankful for it. Secondly, learn to defend it, learn to promote it, the liberty that we have. And so our verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And that makes me think about the founding of our country. Now, I'm not talking about 1776. I'm talking long before that, when a group of people left the shores of places like Holland to come to the Americas. They came, wrote a document like the Magna Carta, in which they expressed their complete dependence on Jesus Christ, the God of the Bible. They didn't come as the Spaniards came to loot and to kill and to plunder these continents of North and South America to get all the gold they could get. They came with the purpose of being able to worship God as they chose. I heard this morning, Christian radio, so I was getting ready to come over here. Man was going through several things that happened. He made the comment, and I never heard this before. He said, George Washington in the year 1890, I think I said 1899 earlier in the service, but 1890 had gone to, I think, the state of Vermont and went to a Jewish synagogue. And of course, you know that Jewish people, even in Europe, have faced at times persecution from Christians and others. And there was the first Jewish synagogue established in the United States there in Vermont or New Hampshire, one of those states. And Washington attended. He visited with them. And they were gracious to him, even though he wasn't a Jewish man. And he just wrote and complimented them on their graciousness and just kind of reaffirmed, hey, you have every right to worship God the way you choose. Now, would we agree with that worship? No, because they reject Jesus Christ as Messiah. I would not agree with that. Nevertheless, I do agree that whether a person is Jewish or Christian, Muslim, they do have a right in this country to meet and worship. There's a little group of Muslim people here. They do have a building they use as a mosque here in our community. And I certainly don't agree with their religion. Not at all. But I do believe they have a right to worship as they choose. And that's one of the great things that we have. You know what? We're not Presbyterian. We're not Lutheran. We're not Episcopalian. We're not Methodist. We're Baptist. Now, in the grand scheme of things, that doesn't mean anything to God, because you don't get to heaven by being a Baptist. You get to heaven by being blood washed, the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. I got some news for you there. I'm going to do like President Biden. I got some news for you. There's going to be Methodists in heaven. You know, going to be some Presbyterians and others in heaven. But you know, I'm grateful that we can follow the Word of God according to the conscience that the Holy Spirit has given to us and have this freedom this morning. Aren't you? Aren't you glad about that? We have that liberty. And when I think about the founding of our country and those who first came over, they came over to escape religious oppression and persecution so they could just worship God freely, whatever way they chose. And our Constitution was designed that way to give that kind of freedom. And it made me think, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. When the Spaniards came over into South America, they didn't come over for religious freedom and to worship God. They came over to plunder a continent and get everything they could. When those small group of Christians came and settled there near Massachusetts, they came with the purpose of worshiping God and Jesus Christ in particular. Never forget that. Never forget that even the Supreme Court of the United States back in 1899, declared in their ruling over a particular case that this is a Christian nation. They came to worship Jesus Christ, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Any nation that's willing to put Jesus Christ first, there always tends to be a movement toward liberty, so that a nation that had slavery saw the evil of slavery and shed the blood of thousands upon thousands of men's lives so that we could give liberty to others. No one forced us to do that. It wasn't like apartheid in South Africa, where other nations put economic pressure upon the South African government to turn. No one did that to us. We saw the error of our way because of the preaching of men of God who stood in the pulpit and got this thing right. We took the evil hearts that is in every man, and through Jesus Christ, we got it right. We got it right. Corrected that wrong. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Never forget that. Because you cannot maintain liberty outside of Jesus Christ. No nation on earth has ever maintained liberty without Jesus Christ. Just go around to different nations. Take your own personal tour. And you'll see the truth of that. I'm grateful for the liberty afforded to me as an American, just as an American. I went down to Salem on Tuesday evening to a camp meeting, and they had several preachers there, just a camp meeting atmosphere, good singing, good preaching, all this. And so I'm driving down to Salem, and I got to thinking about this. And I thought, you know, if I wanted to, I don't have to stop in Salem. I could drive out to Burbank, California. No one could stop me. When I come to a state border, I'm not going to have a checkpoint where they're checking my papers to see if I'm legal. In fact, when we crossed into Ohio and then crossed back into West Virginia this weekend, I did it without hesitation. No one stopped me. I had freedom to do it. I can go anywhere I want. I can basically be anything I want. I could walk in here next week and say, I've decided to become a Presbyterian, so I'm leaving the Baptist church. See you guys later. Now, it may shock you, but you know what? You could not stop me, nor would anyone in this country. I have that kind of freedom. I don't always, nor do you, nor do any citizen, always use our freedom correctly and with responsibility, but we do have that freedom. You agree with that? We have that kind of freedom. I'm also grateful for the liberty that's afforded to me as a Christian, that I can worship Him, that I can know Him, and no one's going to try to teach me differently. As in some communist nations, they go into classrooms of very small children, and a trick they use is to take a plant, two plants, and they put them in front of the children, and they say, we're going to prove to you there's no God. We, communist officials, are going to come in and water this plant. And we're going to ask God to water this plant. And we'll see which plant lives. And of course, you know, the one that's being watered by the communist officials grows and flourishes. The plant that they are telling you kids, if you want to believe in God, you pray and ask God to water the plant. It dies. And they'll say, you see, there is no God. And that's their introduction many times into their way of thinking in their educational system there. You know, that's becoming more and more the way it is in our country, isn't it? If we're honest. Let's take prayer out of the classroom. Let's take Bible reading out of the classroom. I just heard this morning, you know, we have a group of folks in our church that are in public education, and they are trying to get gospel in, and they are trying to encourage kids to pray. And it's like, wow, that's great. But that's not the way it is in most places. That's not the way it is in most places. Those things are hindered and stopped. So while we still have the freedom, I'm grateful for that freedom that we have afforded to us as Christians. So may the Lord help us never to take our liberty as an American and never take the liberty we have as Christians for granted. And since you and I possess the Spirit of the Lord, we as Christians, like no other people, even in our own country, should cherish freedom more than anyone else. We as born-again people of God should cherish freedom more than anyone else. But liberty is often neglected, and liberty is often abused. And I don't want to be guilty of being a man, whether as an American or a Christian, but especially both, of neglecting and abusing the liberty that has been afforded to me. I want to bring out three things this morning, three simple points that I want you to consider. The first is this. Freedom is not what? You've all heard that statement made. Freedom is not free. Well, that's true. We know that's true. Freedom is not free. While I enjoy my freedom, it costs someone else their life so I can have freedom. I'm not speaking German today. We're not under Nazism. We're not under Mussolini and fascism. We're not under the totalitarianism of Imperial Japan this morning. Why? Because a whole bunch of people laid down their lives. I'm not trying to be controversial, but black people are not chained in slavery today because a whole lot of Americans laid down their lives so they could be free. And that's the reality. And that cannot be denied. We enjoy our freedom today, but it costs some their lives. I'm grateful for every veteran, and I'm grateful that we observe Veterans Day and take time to honor those who fought. And we have men here who bear the scars of wars right now in this auditorium. And there have been some that don't sit in this auditorium. This is true across the United States because they're buried at some cemetery in Europe or North Africa because they shed their blood and laid down their life so we could have freedom. So as Americans, there was a price paid for our freedom. 1,300,000 plus lives since the Revolutionary War to our wars on terror in the Middle East. Over 1,300,000 souls have laid down their lives and shed their blood so that Matt Noss can sit here this morning. Come up from Alabama, no one hindered him. Sit here in our church today. And then he'll go back home to Alabama and no one will hinder you, will they, Matt? Freedom. Why? Because people paid a price. I did not pay it. Some of you had a part in paying that when you served. But we have freedom today. The price for my freedom as an American was paid in blood. Paid in blood. But you know, as a Christian, while I have this freedom to worship God as I choose, I really do. I can worship God any way I choose, and no man can stop me. There was a price that was paid. There was a price paid on a hill. It wasn't Bunker Hill outside of Boston. It wasn't Cemetery Hill at Gettysburg during the Civil War. It wasn't the Sugarloaf Hill there in Okinawa during World War II, or Pork Chop Hill in Korea, or Hamburger Hill in Vietnam. It was a hill called Calvary. And there was one man who made an assault on the forces of hell, and his name was Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God and the Son of Man. And he went to Calvary, Calvary's hill, and he laid down his life and he shed his blood so I can have freedom. And you sit here today as children of God because of what Jesus Christ did. And what we have is free. Romans 5:18 says this: therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. And twice, maybe three times in Romans chapter 5, he uses the term free gift. Now listen, you have all been the victim of somebody saying, oh, we have a gift for you. Years and years ago, when Debbie and I were first married, we saw this advertisement that if you go tour this warehouse, they'll give you free tickets to go to Daytona Beach for 2 days and 3 nights, and they'll put you up in a hotel, and then you get to go 2 days and 2 nights to Disney World. And Christopher was just a baby, I think. Well, I think maybe we had both Christopher and Corey at the time. They're both really small. And we thought, we don't got money to do that kind of thing, but if someone wants to pay for us to go, we'll do it. So we went and toured this warehouse, and they said, okay, well, you just drive down to Daytona Beach on such and such a date, and they'll take care of everything there. Well, they took care of us all right. It was a fiasco, and they lied to us, and they didn't do what they said they were going to do. There was a, what do you call it, a string attached to the, you know, the gift that they were going to give. And I told myself, and I've kept my promise to myself, I'll never ever again do something like that. It was terrible. I say all that for this reason. There are no strings attached to the gift of God's salvation. There ain't nothing you or I can do to merit what God has done for us. And God does not say, well, I'll give you this gift of salvation if you just promise that you'll do this, 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 and this. Listen, you don't earn your salvation. You don't earn the keep of your salvation. It's all of God. And that's why he distinguishes and says, it's not just the gift of God that is eternal life. He said, it is the free gift that justifies you before a holy God. You and I sit here today as God's children because we've been given a free gift, and that free gift has given us liberty in Christ. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And the Spirit of God entered into you the moment you got saved, and there is liberty in Him. But there was a price paid, Mark 10:45. For even here the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. Revelation, the first chapter, the fifth verse, the last part of the verse, says this. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. He died and shed His blood to give me liberty in Jesus Christ. Let me say it again. First point. Now listen. Freedom is not free. I freely got salvation, but it cost Jesus Christ everything. As an American, I have never stepped foot on a battlefield. I have never fired a weapon at another human. I've never been in conflict. But millions of others have. So that I could be here today and have this freedom. Freedom is not free. Freedom is not free. Second thing I want you to understand is this. Freedom is not without responsibility. Freedom is not without responsibility. John Dalberg Acton made this statement. He said, liberty is not the power of doing what we like, but the right to do what we ought. And too many times, we've created an atmosphere in our country now that freedom comes without responsibility. As an American, that's not true. As an American, that's not true. There are things that we have responsibility to do. I just mentioned some. One, the responsibility to vote. I know the fiasco of the last national election. And I personally, if you want to call me a conspiracy theorist, go right ahead. But I do believe those elections were tampered with. It doesn't change anything. I still pray for President Biden constantly. I pray for Kamala Harris constantly. But you know what? In 2022, I'm going to vote. I think I have a responsibility. I've been afforded a freedom that most people do not understand. The vast majority of people on this planet do not understand the freedom that you and I understand. And we take it for granted. The low percentages of people that vote is astounding. And even more so, the low percentage of Christians, those who call themselves Christians that vote. And I've had the argument thrown at me. I don't believe we should vote. I don't think it's right to do. We just need to take whoever God gives to us. Well, listen, I understand we take whoever God gives us. But when God says, I'm giving you an opportunity to vote, I don't think God is going to say, oh, you shouldn't do that. I think you should. I think we have a responsibility as an American to try to preserve freedom for others. Because I got four grandkids. And the way this country is going, I fear for my four grandchildren. I'm thrilled that Brooke's going to have twins. It's always neat to me when we hear about one of our families that's going to have another child. I think it's wonderful. So I was going to say to Gabe and Whitney, have about five more. Come on, just come on. You guys get busy. You guys over here get married and have kids. No, that's wonderful. I'm serious. But I fear for my four grandchildren. I do. That's a legitimate concern about what they're going to have to face. Because I'm 62 years of age, I know my days are numbered. If the Lord doesn't come back, my days are numbered, and they'll live on, and I fear for them. So you know what? While I have influence as an American, I need to fulfill my responsibility. And if God can use my vote to help get some people back in office that will help correct some of the foolishness that's going on in our country, if God would be merciful to us, then you know what? We ought to do it. We ought to do it. I have the responsibility of preserving freedom for others by paying my taxes. Do I like paying taxes? I love paying taxes. I just lied in the pulpit. I do not like paying taxes. I don't like that. Neither do you. But if we want to be defended against what we now see, the rising power in the Far East and the rising power in Eastern Europe, as they see the United States weakening itself and weakening its defenses, literally, a large part of the 2022 federal budget for our military purposes is to teach the woke culture to our troops. I can't even believe I just said that, but that's the truth. I had somebody say, if they knew that when they joined the military, this is what they were going to be taught, they would never have joined. I'll tell you something. Yeah, we got a lot of problems in this country. But I still, as a citizen, am going to do my part in the hopes that maybe in 2022, 2024, some of these things are reversed and we get back to some semblance of normality, maybe. And if that doesn't happen, then I won't look back. I won't look back and say, I shouldn't have paid my taxes. No, I think I should be obedient. Obey them that have authority over you. Romans 13. That was said about an oppressive Roman government that ended up killing the man who wrote those words. So I think we have a responsibility. I think we have a responsibility to do this, to obey the authority that's over us. As disgusting and sometimes as foolish as our current authority in our country is, God gives me no option. Romans 13, will let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whether it's the Caesar in Rome, Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, Cyrus in Persia, or the President of the United States. I have a responsibility to try to preserve freedom. Secondly, as a Christian, I have a responsibility. I have the responsibility to promote freedom. To promote freedom to others. And folks, listen to me. Let's forget it's the 4th of July. Let's forget about America, so to speak, and citizens of the country. You are first and foremost a citizen of heaven if you're born again. Your first loyalty is not to the United States. Your first loyalty is to your heavenly kingdom and to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. That's where your loyalty first lies. And here's your first priority. Not the voting booth, not paying your taxes, but promoting the cause that is so near and dear to Jesus Christ. Let me read to you from Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. Romans 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? I don't know why, but as I was preparing this message earlier in the week, that little phrase just hit me, except they be sent. You see all these pictures here? That was Brother Phil's idea, and he had these designed. They're beautiful. Every time I walk in here, it's like, that sets our auditorium off. It's all about getting the gospel to these different continents. And this church has been involved in that ministry for many years. I'm grateful to be able to stand here and say, hey, we had about from the last time We had a missions conference. We had an increase of about $7,000 in commitments. That's wonderful. Can I tell you this? And this is going to sound like I'm rebuking. I'm not really trying to rebuke. We average about most missions guys. This has been I've been here for 17 years. This has been the average, about 15 commitment slips out of a membership of about 120 or 140 people. You say, well, some of those are probably family. Yeah. We probably have 50 to 60 families at least that are members of this church. And I got real excited because we had 19 commitment slips passed in. And even if those were all the whole family joining in together, which they're not, I know they're not. I'm thinking, why isn't every family in this church burdened about souls? Why is it when we have visitation time, I can only get a few people to come out? Something ain't right. Something's not right. And I have a responsibility as a Christian to do exactly what he said, except they be sent. You need to send these people. I can't go to Pakistan. Can't go to India. Can't go to China. Can't go to Myanmar. Can't go to the Sudan. But we got a missionary that gets people in there, the Combs. He goes and he trains the nationals in Kenya or in places like South Korea to go into these places where Americans cannot go, and they establish churches and win people to Christ. Good night. Man, it shouldn't be excited about 19 slips. It should have been 39. It should have been 59 people saying, I want to support it, even if it's for a dollar a month. I want to be part of this, getting the gospel out. And I'm grateful that there was an increase. But I think to myself, man, that should be doubled, shouldn't it? That should be doubled. You say, that kind of steps on my toes, Pastor. Then you go to God and you argue with him. Don't argue with me. Argue with him. Argue with him. We have a responsibility as Christians to promote freedom. The freedom that Jesus Christ gives the people. They may never have freedom in their physical nations, but they can have the freedom of being part of the spiritual nation. And know that one day, even though their lives may be filled with persecution here, this side of heaven, that one day they'll get to heaven and know nothing but freedom. I have a responsibility to promote freedom. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now, that should be, as an American, part of our responsibility to pray for President Biden, for Vice President Harris, for Governor Justice, for Mayor Lang, or whatever city you live in, to pray for those who are in authority. That ought to be your responsibility and mine. But notice the spiritual realm, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That is one complete thought. There is really no separation between the first two verses and the second, except for a period. But the thought is consistent. He said this, I want you to pray. And of course, in those days, pray for the Caesar, so that you can get benefit and you can have a quiet and peaceful life, so you don't keep getting persecuted and slaughtered by people like Nero, who used Christians to light his gardens. He was such a crazy man. He would take Christians and put them on long poles and douse their bodies in a pitch and then light their bodies to light his gardens at night. He was an insane man. Burnt Rome and blamed Christians for it. He said, you pray that so you can have a quiet and peaceful life. Maybe God will get us out of it. And God did. God brought peace finally. But he said, that's not the only reason, just so you can have peace and quietness. He said, so those men can get saved. You pray. You know what Paul's goal was when he got to Rome? To go before the leadership of Rome and give them the gospel. That was his goal. It's always interesting to me, and it's happened here. One of the members of our church wrote, I think it was President Trump was in office, wrote him an invitation to salvation. You know what I say? Did he ever get that letter? I have no idea. But he did a whole lot more than I did for President Trump. God said, I want all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, even those who are in leadership. We have a responsibility. And finally, today is this. Freedom is not free. Freedom is not without responsibility. And listen to this. Freedom is not license to sin. When I go back to the beginning of this message, I talk about us not appreciating our liberty. It's more than just a lack of appreciation. It is a lack of misuse of our liberty. Our country has made it now where we say we have the license to sin. We have the license to kill a child. We make it kind of sanitary by calling it abortion. We call it a fetus. We blame communist Russia for the slaughter of millions. We blame communist China for the slaughter of tens of millions. We blame Nazi Germany for the slaughter of millions of people. And we're no better. We've slaughtered millions. We just sanitize it. We say we couldn't see it. We do it in sterile rooms where nobody can see a child being dissected and torn apart in the womb. There's blood on our hands. I'm talking about the nation, not yours necessarily, but blood on the hands of this country. And we've made liberty a license to sin. There was a day where you'd never hear things about binary and transgender and all the filth and perversion that our nation promotes. We do today. And if you take a stand against it, if you say that's not right, you are the ones who run the risk of being condemned and are condemned for that. If you're a baker and you're asked to bake a cake for a same-sex wedding and you say, out of a religious consciousness, because I don't want to offend God, I can't do that, and you're the one who has to go to court again and again and again. That's the United States today. We've made freedom a license to sin. And as an American, freedom does not afford me the right to jeopardize other lives. And that's exactly what we're doing in our country. We are jeopardizing the lives and the sanity of millions because we have promoted freedom and liberty as a license to sin. And as a Christian, freedom does not give me the right to sin, nor, as Paul or as Peter said, be malicious. Say, why did he say malicious? Well, he said in 1 Peter 2:16, as free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. Now here's what I see Christians doing. And again, if this steps on your toes, so be it. I see Christians want to promote Christian liberty. I have Christian liberty to do what I want. I have Christian liberty to watch what I want. I have Christian liberty to listen to what I want. I have Christian liberty to dress the way I want. And there's truth in that statement, except here's what Christians do. They use their Christian liberty as a cloak of maliciousness. I'll just do what I want, whether or not I feel it's going to please the Lord, and I'll just use the excuse, I got liberty in the Lord, and you can't tell me what to do. I remember that trend being set probably about 30 years ago. Not that long ago. No, about 30 years ago. When I was youth pastor here, we take our kids down to the wilds. They would have meetings with all the sponsors, and of course we were sponsors, and they would have meetings with Dr. Hay. And I remember sitting there, and they were saying, you know, used to be 10, 15, 20 years ago, you told a teenager what to do, and they did it. Now you tell them what to do, And they'll say, you can't make me. You can't tell me what to do. And he said, it's a totally different ballgame working with young people today. You can't. That, folks, was back when I was youth pastor at Grace Baptist Church. That was a long time ago. Long time ago. Do you have that attitude? You can't tell me what to do. You can't tell me what to listen to, what to wear. You know, there's truth in that. I've never come to anybody's home, and I've heard pastors doing this, and I think it's wrong. Go to people's homes and say, you will get rid of that TV, and you will quit dressing this way, and you will quit doing this, and you will quit doing that. I don't do that. But I think there should be enough character in every Christian where we say, God, I'm not going to do anything that's going to offend you. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do. And I think that covers everything. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I think twice. Peter said it and Paul said it about the way we're supposed to conduct ourselves in the way we dress. And that includes men too. I don't have to police, and I shouldn't, and I don't know that it's right, and that's why I don't do those kind of things. But I think everyone in this room, I don't care if you are new to this church or you've been here for years like I have, every one of us as born-again people should say, you know what, God? I want to do everything I do to your glory. Everything. My conversations, my viewing habits, my listening habits. Everything I do, I want it to be for your glory. So I just ask you that question. We'll just generalize it that way. In your Christian liberty, do you seek not to be malicious, but to bring glory to your God? Only you can answer that. I don't know what people do in their private lives. I don't observe everything that people do. All I know is this. That should be something that governs us. Something that we focus on honoring the Lord with. Alexis de Tocqueville, the French writer, said, liberty cannot be established without morality, and morality without faith. What have we done in this country? We've cut off the aspect of faith. We're no longer a Christian nation. We have removed God from our institutions. We forbid the promoting of God. Liberty cannot be established without morality, nor morality without faith. So we cut out God in our public schools. Now what have we cut out? Morality. What's the next to go? Faith, morality, liberty. And you hear that from a Frenchman who I don't think was ever a Christian. But he was smart enough to say, I understand it. I understand what's going on in America. I see it. Freedom is not free. Freedom is not without responsibility. Freedom is not license to sin. We have a responsibility. As Americans, we have a responsibility as Christians. Let's get to it. Let's do what we ought to do. For our country's sake, and most of all, for our God's sake, let's get back to doing what we ought to do. Let's bow our heads for prayer. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed, I look around. I think everybody here is a regular attender. I don't really see any visitors here this morning. So salvation may not be an issue this morning. But there may be somebody watching on live stream this morning. Maybe you've tuned in. You've never been part of one of our services, and you've heard me speak this morning. I encourage you, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, that right now, right there in your home, you just ask Him to come into your life. Ask Him to cleanse you from your sin. Put your trust in Him alone for salvation. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse you from all sin. And if you ask Him to save you and forgive you, He will do exactly what He promised to do. If you're willing to turn from your sin and give them to Him, put your trust in Him, He'll do that. But here, right here, I'm speaking to many who are maybe everyone born again, we have a responsibility to freedom, not just to enjoy it, but to be responsible for it. I know Patty's not here to play, but I'll just have you do this. Let's just all stand together with our heads bowed. And if you need to come to the altar this morning, you just want to make use of it. Maybe you want to come just say, hey, thank you, God, for liberty today. Thank you that I have liberty in this country. Thank you that I have liberty in Christ. If you want to do that, praise the Lord. If you want to make an altar right where you stand, you go before the Lord to thank Him. Or maybe just to recommit yourself to being responsible for what we enjoy. Father, I thank you today for the privilege of preaching your word. You said I'm to reprove, I'm to rebuke, I am to exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That's my job. Lord, I ask that you would take what has been said and use it for good. Lord, whether it's just to encourage someone to go to the voting booth in our upcoming elections and years to come, or Lord, just give obedience to the authorities that are over us, or Lord, whether it's the responsibility as a Christian to provide so that things that we cannot do, other Christians who are able and willing to go across the seas, we would support them in it to get the gospel out. Lord, whether it's just the aspect of not misapplying liberty as a Christian and using it for a cloak of maliciousness, a cloak to sin. Lord, help us to do all that we do to bring glory to your name, every aspect of our life, every single aspect. Lord, I know not everyone in this room has the same standards or the same kind of convictions. That's not the issue. The issue is doing things that will please you and bring glory to you, not glory to Grace Baptist Church, not glory to Pastor Vaughn, but glory to you. Lord, help us to take and enjoy the liberty, but to apply it correctly and be responsible for it. Well, thank you for it. And as we head home today, I know this is a holiday. I pray, God, that you would bless the gatherings of families today, but that we'd honor you in it. We'd please you. We'll thank you for all that's done. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I just encourage you to keep praying for Doug Simmons. And just keep praying for each other. And trust you have a great 4th of July. And again, there's no afternoon service today. So we'll see you Wednesday. Happy 4th.